Blog Talk Radio.
Sense Life. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome back to Spiritual Sense Life podcast on Saturday evening. Hopefully everything is going your way and that you all have had a blessed and wonderful day. We took off last weekend. I had realized that it was Labor Day weekend, so I do apologize for the last minute. I decided not to do the show. My wife had kind of reminded me because sometimes I just be on the go and just not really realizing sometimes that it may be a holiday, so I decided to go ahead and take off the weekend, plus give everyone else a break because I know that a lot of people are traveling and seeing family or just relaxing, spending time with family. So nonetheless, we are back. Hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful week and a joyous Labor Day weekend. Everything has been going your way, spiritually and naturally. So we're praying for everyone out there. Make sure that we are praying for those that are affected by the pandemic. There's some things still going out here in the world. Just make sure that we are being prayerful as the saints, because the word says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Amen. So it's our prayers that the Most High hears. Amen. We know that the Bible says over in St. John, the 9th chapter, I can't think of what verse it is, but he only hears our prayers. So make sure that we are praying and intercessing for those that are not being heard. So nonetheless, we are back. I'm grateful to be back. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into the word because I have a lot to cover with you today. Revelation, the 6th chapter, has a lot of information. Revelation, the 6th chapter, basically is about it's the sealed judgments of the Lamb, and it also covers the tribulation, the great tribulation, the whole 7-year period. Just kind of like basically breaks down the entire tribulation. That's what the Revelation 6 chapter is about. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it because the hour. So I'm going to go ahead and say a quick prayer, and then I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. So let's go ahead and read that first, and I'll say a quick prayer. But cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of all prophecy and all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunted not itself, is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seek it not her own, is not easily provoked. Think it no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought I was a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abide in faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father on high, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for salvation, Heavenly Father. We thank you for blessing us and giving us the greatest gift, dear Heavenly Father, of the gift of eternal life, Heavenly Father. We thank you for Yeshua, your Son, the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, for his ultimate sacrifice back to mankind to redeem us and to restore our relationship back to you, dear Heavenly Father, so that we may dwell in the heavens and dwell with you all for all eternity, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for what you have done, for what you are about to do in our lives. We thank you for all that you have blessed us with. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore, Heavenly Father. We pray that the word may go forward and that your children may be fed, dear Heavenly Father. Bless all the flesh to be removed, and then we get into the spirit. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it because there's a lot to cover. So just a little bit in between scriptures. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Just a little bit in between scriptures. I may just kind of ad-lib or add some things into the message. I know because I'm trying to get as much done. I try to do a chapter a week because I don't want to spread it out too long. But at the same time, I want to make sure that I'm breaking down the word and giving you more than enough information so that this will help to enlighten you in the book of Revelation. As I told you before, as the believers and as the saints, Revelation is on our side. It's about the Lamb. It's about Christ and his day. And it's also about, you know, the saints. You know, we want to be with the Lord for all eternity. We're going to come back and reign with Christ for 1,000 years first before we be with the Lord for all eternity. So the book of Revelation is about hope. Hope for who? It's about hope for the believers. Hope, okay? Now, as far as those who are unbelievers, it's about their destruction. That's correct. Not just their punishment, but their destruction. They will be destroyed for choosing not to believe in Christ, okay? So before I get started, I just want to make sure I just kind of put this out there. In studying and reading some of the different books about the book of Revelation, you kind of find that just even in the world, whether you get the information from online or social media, I try to encourage people because, I come from a time to where we didn't have social media. Wasn't popular when I started studying and reading the Bible. So be careful where you get your sources from, your information from. I have a tendency to be old school. I study and read books. So I kind of have a tendency to do it the old school way. Even in school, they always teach you, to check and fact check your resources. So make sure, and I even tell people, don't just take my word for it. Make sure you do your own study and research. So for those of us who are, to do the best that we can by the Spirit to interpret the word, we do the best that we can. We're not perfect. That's why the Bible says, why I read the context of love. For we prophesy in part, we know in part, meaning that we don't know everything. We do the best that we can to offer the information according to our gift that's given to us, to give you the rightly divided word. We do the best that we can. The reason that I say that, because sometimes people don't always agree. And even Paul and Peter didn't always agree. And so I've kind of noticed from years of study that theologians and people who study the Bible don't always agree. I have family members that are in ministry. And sometimes we may not always come to an agreement on a certain topic or subject. So with that being said, I just felt it necessary to put that out there. No one, I don't believe, that's rightly dividing the word or who attempts to rightly divide the word purposely give incorrect information. So if I have in the past, I'm quite sure that I probably have been wrong because I know I'm not perfect. So I know that I have probably given some incorrect information in the past. Do the best that I can with the word. So I do apologize if I have. I don't believe that I have. Maybe I have. Like I said, I'm not perfect, but sometimes if we find out that we do give incorrect information, we do try to correct it. But anyway, I just want to put that out there because of just I'm running to, in the past, I've also ran to conflict of information from books that I studied. Like, this person thought is different from this person. And, maybe when we went to school, we were taught certain things in class and it differs slightly from other books that I may read and study on. It's like, you know, it's just kind of find it interesting. But it's like that, you know, none of us are perfect. We like to say we do the best that we can. I'm not always right. I'm quite sure in the past that I've probably given incorrect information. I apologize if I do or if I have. So we do the best that we can. So make sure that you're praying for them. And that's why we pray before we give the word. But there's an old saying, you know, if you know better, you do better. So just don't continue to, you know, give wrong information if you know that it is incorrect. Okay. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into Revelation, the 6th chapter. And what I want to go ahead and do is kind of give you a breakdown. Like I said, I got a lot of information to share with you. I'll do the best that I can because I don't want to have to split it up into 2 weeks. I try not to do that because I know that, you know, you just want to try to get as much information as you can in 1 week. But I did notice something as I was studying in my book, Forgive, because sometimes the enemy will attack. And it's funny because I had my bookmark in this book. And it was so funny because as I was studying, I just so happened to stumble on this old information. I said, man, I hadn't seen that since for many years since I've studied Revelation some years ago. And I was like, man, I can include this in my study for today. And so what I'll do, I'll just come back to it because I kind of lost my bookmark. That's something because I actually had it marked. At least I know that I had it marked because I said I'm going to use it today. And all of a sudden it's gone. So, but I will do the best that I can to come back to that information because I really, really would love to share it with you. But it is what it is. We'll try to come back to it. Hopefully, I'm quite sure I will find it. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into Revelation, the 6th chapter. And so Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 1, and as I stated, Revelation, the entire 6th chapter, deals with the 7 seals being open, okay? And the entire chapter of Revelation 6 deals with the entire tribulation. So it's like a brief breakdown of tribulation because prior to that, we dealt with the church being what? Called up into heaven, right? The church is in heaven at this time. We know that we've taught and I've showed you scriptures after scripture that the church will not be here on earth during the Great Tribulation. For years I've studied and have not found any reference or language that's going to that shows that the church will be here during the tribulation. It has been a thought in my mind that, you know, hey, what if the church is here? You know, because you always think like that, you know, what if we are here? What if people are incorrect in their teaching? And I know my brothers in ministry, we talked about it several years, several times. And even in coming into studying the word, preparing for to bring you all revelation, I had to really kind of check and study and be sure, you know, because I was like, man, you know, because that was the one thing that was just on my heart and my mind. I said, man, what if the church is here? Because we know that there are different school of thoughts on revelation as far as the church being here or not. And I did study, do some more extensive studying on it, and I did not come to any conclusion, especially with the new findings. And this was such a blessing. And I'm going to share with you the new findings of scripture that I ran across doesn't show or support that the church will be here. So that's a good thing. Okay. Like I say, I'm just going to let it naturally flow today because I got a lot of information. I don't want to stay on one subject too long. So let's go ahead and read Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 1. It says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the 4 beasts saying, come and see. Okay? So this is the opening of the first seal from the Lamb. Now, who is the Lamb? We know that the Lamb is Christ. Okay? We know it's the Messiah. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I kind of found this interesting that each beast that opened up each seals was represented over in Revelation, the 4th chapter, verse 7, when it begins to talk about the 4 different beasts and how they look. Revelation 6 and 7, these were the beasts that were around the throne of the Heavenly Father, the ones that were saying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They were the ones that was opening up the seals. each beast is represented by supposedly by the order that they are revealed in Revelation in the fourth chapter. So they believe that each beast, like the first beast, was the one that opened up the first seal, is believed to have been like the lion. It says in the first beast, this is Revelation 4:7, the first beast was like a lion, which was the same beast that opened up the first seal in Revelation 6:1. I thought that was pretty interesting. Again, just some new information when you study in depth, because I've always read Revelation and studied here and there, but I'm being more crafty in studying in depth because I want to teach you this information, share this information, and I'm finding new information. So that's why I say I enjoy doing it, because I learn as well. Okay, so this is what we're dealing with in Revelation, the first chapter. Okay, now we talked about these seals or represents the judgment of Christ on the unbelievers, not the believers. And this is why we say that the believers, which is the church, we're in the church age, we will not be here, because this tribulation period, the 7-year period, and I found that so unbelievable, because like I say, when you read, you study, and then you kind of listen to other people's opinions on Revelation, because I know, remember when I was in class, this was a school of thought was, what if they misinterpret the time frame of Revelation? In other words, what if it's actually 70 years? we know it's not going to be 700 years. But that was just one of the fears, is that we misinterpret the time. And so according to what I've studied and researched, that no, it has to be 7 years according to what Daniel prophesies over in the book of Daniel, the 70 weeks. It is a 7-year period. Because the extent of what's going to happen to the earth couldn't endure what man is going to do in this 7-year period. Plus, the wrath of the Lamb. The earth is going to take so much, and mankind is just going to be the wrath and just the different things that's going to happen on the earth. It can't be no longer than 7 years. In fact, Christ even said over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, he said, at least the days be shortened that no flesh would be saved, because it's going to be that bad. And that's why I say this is the best time. I said 2020 is the year of the awakening. Okay, this is the year of the preparation to get the church back in line and back in order for what? To receive Christ. Every single day of your life, if you hadn't been, if you've been listening to me, you should be looking for Christ every single day. And it amazes me when things have not been done. I'm like, well, what is the expectation of your life? What are we doing? Are we looking for a house on the hill? Are we looking for to hit the lottery? No, absolutely not. We're looking for the return of Christ. That's what we're looking for. That's where your expectation should be, not about hitting the lottery or buying a house on the hill or getting that next expensive luxury car. Absolutely not. It should be looking for eternal life for all eternity. I mean, my brother was talking earlier today, and that was just one of the one thing we love. You know, iron sharpens iron. We love talking about the Bible and just our general conversation. And this is the thing that we should be looking for. The expectation should be the return of Christ. What am I going to get for all eternity, not just for this short period of time on this earth, pass away? The Bible says only what we do for Christ shall last. So your heart and your mind should be every single day you wake up, the expectation should be that Christ is going to, he's coming back to get me. That's why the Bible says to watch. He says to watch. You're not watching if you're watching television and watching housewives shows and the next best season episodes. You're not watching if your focus is to become some type of entrepreneur mogul, and your heart is set here. The Bible says, love not the world. That's not where our heart is. And I'm not telling you not to be ambitious and to pursue things of this world with your gifts and your talents that have been given to you. Surely you should do these things, especially if it's going to help to better society and mankind. But the ultimate goal is to look for the return of Christ. If it hadn't been, hopefully you've gotten that by now, and that's what you're looking for every single day. And this is why I said last night on Spiritual Freestyle Friday that I'm beginning to notice that the world is so caught up and to when Christ is going to return, and these are the signs of when he's going to return. We don't know. The disciples asked him, what shall be the signs of his return? Okay? When he comes back to get the church, he says, I don't even know when I'm coming back to get the church. Your concern should be to get ready for his return. Okay? It's just like a marriage. The bride and groom are getting what? Prepared to be married. You're getting ready to be married. It's going to happen. You just need to be prepared and make sure that you are counted in that number when he returns. That's the most important thing for you as any believer out there. For me, for you, we are getting prepared for his return, and that we are to continuously, stack up on as many spirits. This is the greatest time ever, because now that you are aware, you can do all the good that you can. Read your Bible, study, fast, pray, show love, do these things for Christ so that you can rack up all the spiritual gifts that you're going to get to enjoy for all eternity, from glory to glory. You'll never get old. You'll never get tired of it. Never. It's not like this life, because we try to put the Most High in the box. You'll never get tired of what your gifts that he's going to bless you with, okay? So I want you to keep that in mind. I had to go there for a few seconds. So the Lamb opens one of the seals, okay? So you think about what I'm talking about, and I just want to reference real quick Revelations. Since we're in Revelation, the fifth chapter, just look at 5-7. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. And so your preparedness is everything, okay? You being prepared for who? The return of Christ. And John wept in heaven, and they told him, weep not, for the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to what? Open the book. To take judgment on his enemies. Your enemies are going to be judged, okay, for their wrong and for their mistreatment. I'm going to say this real quick. I was just kind of, I saw this video this past week. I kind of found it kind of interesting. Popped up in my feed about this pastor that was preaching, and he was being attacked. And I just have to be real, because we're in a time to where we can't play around anymore. He was just preaching. And so people of the gay community started bashing him, actually assaulting the pastor. I thought that was interesting. I'm like, wow, they're going to actually assault the brother. They was assaulting him. They was pushing him and kicking him. And it was crazy, because the cops ended up being called out. The cops were called. They did nothing. Basically, they ran him off, did nothing to the people that assaulted him. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm just like, wow, we are really truthful in the last days. And this is just one of many things that we see. The world hates us. They hate the truth. They want to do what they want to do. And whether it's being gay, or whether it's, want to be a fornicator, whatever it is, want to, just sell their soul, whatever it is that they want to do to chase and love to love the world and love themselves, that they have just basically pushed the Most High to the side, like, we don't care. We don't care about the Bible. We don't care about the world. We don't care about your God, which is the Most High God. This is the times that we're living in, and this is why Christ is going to take his wrath out on the unbelievers, and this is why we are praying for those who are unbelievers, whatever type of lifestyle they are living, to receive salvation, because they don't understand that destruction is coming. Destruction is coming. I'll say it again. Destruction is coming. When you destroy something, that's it. It ceased to exist. It is no more. It is no longer. It ceased to exist. We are in that age and that time to where he's about to come back to get the church. Okay? We believe that. We don't know when. Some speculate very soon, some a little longer than others. We don't really know. But we know that this is an awakening for the church and the opportunity for those who are hearing the word to believe the word. And as much as I feel like a lot of people mean well, they're telling people about the things to come, but in my opinion, you're leaving out something that's very key and important, the plan of salvation. You can't tell people about what's coming. You can't tell people that they better get right and change, but not tell them how to change. You got to tell people about Romans 10:9-10. that is part of the Great Commission, is to transition people from death to life. This is what we're doing with this ministry. This is what we're doing when we're teaching about the Word, okay? This is highly important that people understand how to become saved, because so many people are going to church with not even a clue if they're saved or not, with not even a clue if they're going to be with the King. And this amazes me, because when I speak to people in church and talk to people over the years in church, they're not for certain if they're going to heaven. I'm like, what do you mean? You know, you've been going to church all your life. How do you not know if you're going? And we want you to know for certain that you're going to be with Christ for all eternity, okay? So we're dealing with the four horsemen of Revelation. What is the four horsemen of the apocalypse, okay, of Revelation, okay? You have the first seal, which is in Revelation 6 and 2. The first seal, verse 1, but verse 2 describes what was unveiled in the first seal. It says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." So we're talking about the Antichrist. And the reason why I had to say what I said earlier, because I found it interesting, because one book that was an old book that I had, and I was studying to read it, it actually interpreted this verse as Christ. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not correct. How could you interpret this as Christ? This is not Christ. This was the this is the Antichrist in verse 2. Now, as you can see, the similarities, he has a crown, but it says that the crown was given unto him. Christ doesn't need a crown given unto him. He already has the crown, okay? And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Okay, so we know that this rider is the Antichrist, and his conquest was to use diplomacy and not war. In other words, he's going to be strategic when he comes on the scene, and basically he's going to basically encourage the world powers that war is not the way. He's going to soothsay. He's going to smooth talk them into saying, hey, he's going to try to basically, because if you're paying attention to what's going on in the world today, the world powers are actually kind of coming against one another. And so they're trying their best to avoid what? World War III. Okay? They're trying their best to avoid World War III. Pay attention to what's going on in the world. They're trying their best to avoid World War III. And that's how we feel like that the time is near. And so what the Antichrist is going to do, he's going to talk them out of going to war against one another. And he's going to attempt to divert World War III, okay? And that's what he said, that he went forth conquering and to conquer. So he's going to use his mind. He's just going to use, you know, his mind. He's not going to use war tactics, basically. And one of the things that, you know, in studying that I've seen is people are saying that he didn't really, the scripture doesn't say that he had a bow. Well, he had a bow, but he didn't have an arrow, which means that he's not going to use war as his tactic. Okay, and so I just kind of thought that was kind of interesting. Okay, and so that's the first seal in dealing with the first horseman. He's on a white horse, and a crown was given him. Remember, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and basically he's going to at some point lead the world, but he's going to come in and he's going to make his scene. Okay, and we know that once that man of sin has been revealed, the son of perdition, that's going to kick off what? The tribulation, the seven-year period. At that time, it is believed Bible scholars and theologians debate on whether it's going to be before or after he is revealed that the church is going to be called up. That is a huge debate. Whether I don't really get into that debate. It doesn't matter, because to me, I say we're not going to be here. Most people lean towards we're going to be gone before he comes on the scene. I know that's one thing that they talk, is that we'll be gone before he comes on the scene. But we won't be here. You don't want to be here during this time period. A lot of people debate about the tribulation itself. I've actually heard somebody say that the tribulation is only 3.5 years. I don't know where they get that calculation from. The tribulation is 7 years. Make no doubt about it. It is 7 years. It's broken up into 3.5 years. The Bible says so. But the last half of the 3.5 years, and we'll kind of get into that, you'll understand that it is going to be, man, devastating to be here in that last 3.5 years. And so, yeah, we want to move forward, okay? So I just wanted to share that with you, okay? So we talked about the coming of Christ, okay, and how he's going to come swiftly, and the warnings to the church in which we have dealt with, and the seven churches. So now what is the second horse? We're going to come back. We may touch a little bit back on Revelation 6 and 2. We may or may not. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and just knock it out of the way. I don't want to come back. Let's go ahead and move forward. So let's go ahead and go over to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We're dealing with the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians, second chapter, verses 3 through 9. Okay. All right, 2 Thessalonians, second chapter, verses 3 through 9. Oh, wow, that's a lot of verses there. I'm going to have to trim this down some. I'm going to have to read swiftly, whichever one comes first. All right, so 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." Okay, we've talked about the falling away. I just gave you an example of the falling away. People are pushing away Christ. People are attacking us. I've been attacked. People see you coming. They are at arms. They are ready for you, man. When you out witnessing and talking to people, they are ready for you. They can't wait to ask you all kind of cute questions and be smart-lipped and smart-mouthed and try to degrade your God. Like, that's not real. It's not true. Hey, man, you know, when you're out here on the forefront, this is just what we deal with. But the falling away has come, okay? We are seeing the falling away, okay? Now, again, the world's going to continue to fall away. Now, understand what the falling away means. It doesn't mean that a person believes and they become an unbeliever. I've heard that in church, and I didn't understand why the preacher had said that. It's not believers turn around losing their salvation. We've established that you cannot lose your salvation, okay? Get that out of your mind. The Bible does not teach nor support that anywhere, okay? The falling away means that those who are on the outside of the church, you know, people who come to church, they will less and less have a desire to become saved. They don't, in other words, they don't want anything to do with the Most High or God. Me and my brother was talking, I think, about a month ago, and we was talking about that. How he said, man, you know what? It used to be a time where you can, he said, and witness to people being out here, Tim. It used to be a time to where you could witness to people. People would at least listen. And I said, you know, you're right. They would. They would at least just listen to you. Now, this day and time, man, you witness to people. Oh, man, they come at you. Well, you know, that's not love. And they'll throw up all kind of stuff. So we see this falling away of the world from the Most High, from the church. They have no desire to want to become saved. And then it says, and that man of sin be revealed. So that's why we're expecting this man of sin to be revealed soon. It says, the son of perdition. Verse 4 says, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That is something, the nerve of a man that's going to – so you can see the pride there in verse 4, basically to say that he is God. You've got to have a lot of pride in yourself to stand up and say you're God, the nerve, right? Verse 5 says, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. This is Paul. He said, remember, I told you these things. And he says, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7 says, for the mystery of iniquity do already work. Only he who let it will let until he be taken out of the way. Let me share something with you. Very profound scriptures there, verses 5 and 6, especially 6. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. I remember when we was in class, they talked about this. They revealed that, okay, and said, this is a question. Okay, who is this? Well, we didn't know. The instruction, she said, this is the Holy Spirit. Okay, right now, Lucifer, death, the Antichrist. See, the Antichrist can't come on the scene until the Holy Spirit moves out of the way. Now, understand that the Holy Spirit is not going to totally leave the world. He's not going to totally leave, because why? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. So he's not going to leave, but he's going to allow the Antichrist and Satan to have their way. But understand when I say have the way, they cannot totally have the way. They can't do unless the Holy Spirit allow them. And only they can only do what the Holy Spirit allows. Now, let me give you an example of that. If you remember over in the book of Job, when Satan was, when he came before the Most High and the sons of God, he came before, he said, Satan, where have you been? He said, I've been to and fro in the earth seeking who I can what? Devour. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And he went to tell them about Job, and so he told him what all he could do, okay? And look, this is by the Holy Spirit, and he told him what you can do and what you can't do. So understand that the Most High has all control. He has all power in his hand. So don't think that Satan is what you see. A lot of people that are serving the devil, which amazes me that people even serve Satan, he still has the answer to the Most High God, Yahweh. So it's only what the Holy Spirit is going to permit them to do. The Holy Spirit is still in control, saying, no, you can't do that. Okay, but he's going to allow them to do certain things, okay? But he's still in control. And as you can see in the scripture here, this is what it's referring to. Only he who let it will let until he be what? Taken out of the way. So understand when we see the word taken, it's saying it's taken out of the way. He's not going to be taken, completely removed, but he's just going to move out of the way just to allow you to do certain things, okay? He's not going to be completely removed. The Holy Spirit is going to always be here. Okay, so I understand that. And there's just so many words and Greeks and stuff. I try to keep it as simple as possible because I try not to interject too many things to make it – I try to make keep it simple to where you can understand. And so because if I can start using a bunch of words and Greeks, which sometimes I would use them, most of the time I try to refrain from it because I'm, you know, I had to learn over the years, like, you know – most of the time, they can kind of confuse people more than bless you. So I just want to share that with you, okay? Now, verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians, second chapter, it said, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So you'll see right here in verse 8 how easily the scriptures where Paul will, it's like he describes only certain portions of what's going to take place in Revelation. And so he says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. In other words, in that seven-year period, the wickedness that has never been on the face of the planet that Daniel prophesies, Christ prophesies, is going to be revealed at the in a seven-year period. Man, it's going to be so unimaginable. I know I hear people sometimes say, oh, well, you know, the church may be here. You got to prepare. You cannot prepare. How many times I say you cannot prepare for what's coming? This is why the church is going to be taken out. You cannot prepare for what's coming. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. I don't care how many storehouses you have. I don't care how big of a house you got with guns around. I don't care how many guns you buy, how many mansions you have. I don't care what you have. Nothing's going to prepare you for what is coming. You know, Christ said it, if you listen to the words of Christ, and I wish I had some time to really get into it. One day I'll shred this back. I'll probably go back and do a revision of Revelation. His words was as if, man, he was simply stating to his disciples, you know, there will be no time ever on this planet as this time. You cannot prepare for what is coming during this seven-year period. I see people stacking up on food, groceries, and this is just a rehearsal. People are saying, this is a rehearsal for what's about to take place. You cannot prepare. You can't buy enough of anything and have enough of anything to prepare you for what's coming. This is a spiritual warfare, and you're trying to prepare for something that's spiritual that's going to come on the earth with naturalness. You can't prepare for it. And this is what's funny when I hear people say, well, you got to make sure you can't prepare again for what's coming. The only way you can prepare for it is to get saved, to become saved, receive salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Once you receive salvation, we'll be called up to heaven. He's going to take us out of here before this even kicks off, okay? So again, as you can see right here, it says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. This is when Christ comes back. He's going to destroy the wickedness and that's going to be going on in the world. We're going to get into that in further chapters in Revelation. I just want to give you a brief, and I'm going to touch on it again at the very end of today's lesson. He's going to destroy with what? The spirit of his mouth. He is the what? The word of God. His word is so powerful that when he speaks, remember in the beginning, he said, let there be light, and light shone. Whenever he says things happen, he is the only being that has the power to create anything out of nothing. No other being has that power to speak and exist. He is so powerful that he's going to consume his enemies and destroy. You see the scripture says, and shall destroy. That's important to understand. He's going to destroy them. They will cease to exist no more. The evil powers of this world will be no more. That is it. All the evil governments, presidency, kingship, queenship, militias, militaries, police stations, military stations, guns, you name it. He's going to destroy it all, and then he's going to rule 1,000 years. And the Bible says he's going to rule with the iron rod. Man, he's going to rule. It's going to be strict. It's going to be what he says goes. No more of this junk and evil mess that you see going on in the world. He's going to destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, real quick, and then we're going to move on. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, man. And so he's going to destroy the Antichrist. He's going to destroy the beast. He's going to destroy Lucifer. Eventually, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. All these people who are worshiping the devil and sold their souls are going to come to an end. Right now, they are ruling. They're living rich. They're living lavish. You can call them the Illuminati. You can call them the Masons. You can call them the secret society. It doesn't matter who or what they are. He's going to destroy every single last one of them. Their rule is going to come to an end. Lucifer has ruled this world, they believe, like about 6,000 years, almost 7,000 years. The last thousand is supposed to be the 7,000 years. He's ruled for thousands of years. The governments and the kingships of this world has ruled, but they're going to come to an end. And so you see that here that we're dealing with and when we talk about the Antichrist, okay? So there's a lot of scriptures that I don't believe I'm going to be able to get to, but I'm going to do the best that I can. I don't believe I'm going to be able to finish. There's so much information. I don't believe I'm going to be able to finish this all in 1 week, so I do apologize. If it takes me a week, another week, then we just have to roll with it. But I'd rather get you this information and that you be prepared, okay? Let's go over to 1 John 2 and 18. I got to get you this information, amen. The Holy Spirit and the Most High said give it to you. So whatever time we have is just the time that we have. We'll pick up next week if we need to, okay? I think that'll be a beautiful thing because I really want the church to be prepared and to know what's going on. And I want you to be, if you need to share this information to bless somebody else, do that. We want as many people to become saved and to miss this thing. We want to convert as many people as we possibly can, because, again, you cannot prepare. I hear people saying you cannot prepare for what's coming. So it says in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 18, it says, little children, it is the last time. Meaning, if you look at the word time, it means days in the Greek. It says, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. And it's talking about the actual Antichrist shall come, but he has not yet been revealed. Even now are there many antichrists. Yes, there are many antichrists. Antichrist is a spirit. It simply means to be against Christ. You see that, and I gave you an example of it when the people was basically heckling the pastor. He was just preaching. He didn't condemn their lifestyle, didn't call out anybody. He was just preaching. And then because there was a group of them, I guess it's a community of them, they kind of began to attack the pastor because he started preaching, saying that he was preaching hate speech. Okay, and we hear this a lot. I've heard it through the years. Oh, that's hate. And you're not showing love. You're not being loving. It is being loving. Okay, he loves everybody. That doesn't mean that he's not going to punish you. It doesn't mean he's not going to destroy you because he hates evil ways. It is evil. It is not right to live the life that you want to live without adhering to the scriptures in the Bible, okay? I can't just get out and just live the life that I used to live. I have to change and every day grow to be better, amen, okay, and press toward the mark. Now, back where I was, it says, even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. This should be so evident, not only just in the world, but also in our churches. There's a lot of false antichrists, the spirit of antichrist in the churches, okay? And when I say that, I'm talking about there are people out there that are using the Bible but living any type of lifestyle, using the Bible when they have opportunity to preach the truth, and they choose not to. So let's go ahead and look at 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 3. It says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come, and even now already is it in the world." This has been going on for hundreds of years and possibly thousands of years. These scriptures were written over 1,000 years ago. The spirit of Antichrist has always been with us, but the actual Antichrist is nearing to come. And so if you want more information about the Antichrist, which is the beast, the Bible in Revelation refers to him as the beast, read Revelation the 13th chapter. So we're not going to get into it because of the sake of time, but read Revelation the 13th chapter and you'll see the, and that's basically that Revelation 13th chapter is about the Antichrist, about the beast. Okay. And so we talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps you. It retains. Okay. And I think I talked about this last night. The reason why we are protected as believers right now, and not to say that the church has not been persecuted or suffered persecution. We know that the church has suffered persecution. Even now today, you go to certain places of the world, they'll persecute you, put you in prison, maybe even kill you for teaching what you believe. But in certain places, the Holy Spirit is saying no, it's not permitted. Okay, so right now the Holy Spirit is keeping us and protecting us. Right now we live in a society, and there are other societies on the planet that where you can teach and have this free speech. That's because the Holy Spirit is saying certain things Lucifer is saying you won't do, okay, because I'm not going to allow you to. So the word must go forward, okay, so that means that people must be saved. So again, Lucifer and Satan don't have total rule over this world like you may think. No, the Most High has all rule, all power and authority, okay, so what he says goes, okay. So back over to Revelation 6 chapter, verse 3, okay, and it says, "When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see." Verse 4, "And there went out another horse that was red." Okay, now we get into, of the four horsemen, this is the second horseman, okay, the red horse. Now, the first horseman, the white horse, appeared in Revelation 6 and 2. The second horse appeared, what, Revelation 6 and 4. Okay, this is the second seal. Okay, the first one was about the Antichrist, how he went forth conquering and to conquer, and he's going to serve on the right under Lucifer, Satan himself, the devil himself. And I know me and my brother, we've been talking about this for years, how we believe that there is somebody or some people on this planet that actually talk to and communicate with Lucifer himself. Now, everybody don't get that, but I'm quite sure there's somebody, I don't care if it's a group of family or 13 families or one family or two family, I don't know, but some people talk about the Rothschild. I don't know who it is, but we believe that there's somebody who actually talked to him. That, and we know that it had to be true because how are they getting their information? They actually deal with Lucifer, Satan himself. Okay, they're very, very high-ranking people on this planet. Okay, they actually deal with Lucifer himself. Okay, so now we talked about that, the Antichrist. Okay, now we're talking about what? Verse 4, Revelation 6 and 4. Okay, and it says, "And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Now remember, Revelation 6 chapter deals with the entire tribulation period. Verse 2 just showed you where it kicked off what that 7-year period, Revelation 6 and 2. So now verse 4 is inside the 7-year period of the Great Tribulation or the Tribulation period, okay? Now, we talk about, and I said this a few weeks ago, how there's not total peace, but there is peace on earth. I go in my front yard and water my front yard and wave at my neighbors. There's peace, okay? I go to the store without anyone bothering me, okay? Now, is there total peace? No. But we know that it's going to be a chaotic time, and that time is yet to come. But it says that it says the red, and I've studied in red where some people reference this the color of this red horse to certain worldly powers, meaning countries that represent themselves. Their flag is red, or they may represent themselves as red. and that they're going to be the ones that possibly take peace from the earth. Okay, so basically, you're basically talking about a possibility of some type of world war here in Revelation 6 and 4. Okay, so let me just state, that's just what I stated. So understand that the Bible is very symbolic when it comes to Revelation. There's some things that I'll point out that if I say something I read and studied, you know, don't take that as, oh, yeah, he says it's going to be this country. No, we don't know. A lot of things are a mystery to us. Certain things have not been revealed to us, but it's what people speculate and believe. We don't know for certain, but we know that there's going to be peace taken from the earth at this time period, Revelation 6 and 4. That they're going to what? Choose to be at war with one another, okay? And it says, there was given unto him a great sword. So you're talking about, you know, this is going to be something that's going to be what they want to do. You're talking about a war, a possible another world war. If you remember, and I didn't even know this, I was studying and researching, I won't get too in-depth into it because I want to stick with the subject. I didn't realize that so many people had lost their lives in World War I and World War II. It is so I didn't even know millions of people had died. And, you know, because I've never really studied research, but it's just funny, just studying research and this, I'm like, wow, this many people actually died in the war. So can you imagine that so many souls that are going to be lost and killed? Again, another one, we think about the war that America has been in, the country that we live in. How many thousands of soldiers? I've had friends, you know, to go to war and come back and tell me some of the incredible things that I've heard them say. It's just unimaginable, like, that took place. And so you think about all the people that's going to lose their lives in this war, okay? So, again, this is the second horseman, right, the red horse. And the power was given to him to take peace from the earth. We don't want to live in a society, and I remember me and my cousin talked about this a long time ago. We don't want to live in a society where some of these other countries have suffered, where they're constantly bombing inside their countries. We don't know what's going to take place on the earth in this time. America may be affected in a certain way that we've not ever known as far as an attack. There are certain countries that haven't suffered great attacks. That can change during this time period in this verse 4. Again, that's just me speaking. That's not what the scripture. That's just me stating that. It's going to be a time to where the quietness that we enjoy now and the rest that we enjoy now, where we can just freely drive up and down the street. Man, you know, could you imagine the military being everywhere in every city and months and people, they go back to and fro back in between cities. We couldn't imagine living like that, okay? But this is going to be a tribulation time, okay? And so thinking about the peace, the time of peace, as I was saying in reference to this scripture, think about the peace that's been on earth and how the earth began in the beginning. In the beginning, Adam had peace. The life was peaceful on the earth, right? You know, there was no chaos. Animals wasn't going at each other. And, you know, it was just peaceful. And so at the very end, Christ is going to cap off a time with peace. That last thousand years, we're going to have nothing but peace. And so it even says, I think it's over in the book of Isaiah. I can't really remember right now. But it talks about how the animals will basically be at peace. Okay, the lion and the lamb. That's peace. That's true peace. Okay, and that's what we want to be. We want to be in a peaceful situation. This is why we say it over and over, the church won't be here. Salvation is the way, so that you can miss all these things that are going to come into the world. And so if you read Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 7 and 8, Christ kind of talked about that. He kind of talked about the tribulation. Actually, that's what he dealt with. The entire tribulation was Matthew, the 24th chapter and 25. He talked about the great tribulation to his disciples. He shared it with his followers, the disciples. And so if you go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 7 and 8, this is what he's talking about. He says, for nation shall rise against nation. We talked about that, these different worldly powers that have nuclear powers, have all this weaponry. You just look at all the military. I mean, I saw something years ago, a video where they got something to where the military can make a tank or a soldier invisible. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm going to tell you what's not scripture. I'm going to tell you that's what I saw. I don't know if that's true. But you think about, in thinking about this, Revelation 6 and 4, it makes me think that the world powers are hiding their best technologies, their best weaponry for something. It could be for this World War III. Whatever they have, whether it's missiles, ray guns, we don't know what they have as far as technology and weaponry. But just reading this here, the scripture, it just makes me wonder, what do they really have that we are not aware of? I remember my brother was in the military and back in the 80s, and he came home and shared some stuff with us that, and we were like, he lost his mind. he's been on the ship too long. He would tell us some things that the military had. We were like, there's no way in the world they have this stuff. And lo and behold, about 10 years later, we saw these things in movies. We were like, man, do you remember him telling us that they had them type of helicopters or this type of stuff that he seeks, you know, just a lot of different stuff they had. We was in shock. And so just thinking about that, there are a lot of things that we are not aware of that they have. And so when I read Revelation 6 and 4, and then I read this here in Matthew 7, it says, nation shall rise against nation. We don't know what they have as far as technology and military. It says, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Now, we know, if you remember some of the world wars, World War I and World War II, what usually happens when war goes on? Famine. You remember I told you about the millions of people that are going to die in the seven-year period. Possibly billions of people are going to die in this period. And this is just the beginning. We haven't even got to the other horsemen or even the wrath of the Lamb. That's going to be a lot of souls lost. And, man, I tell you, you can't prepare for what's coming. You don't want to be here when this thing kicks off. And so I just think about this, you know, famine. When war happens, because why? The government used billions and billions and millions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars to prepare for war. For military, for suits. No, like I told you, we don't know what they have for technology. It takes them hundreds of millions and billions of dollars to build weaponry. And so can you imagine the money that's going to be poured into that? And you look at the economy of the U.S. economy. U.S. economy is not what a lot of people think it is. Probably hasn't been that way in 500 or 100 years. You know, we're just being real. We're just being lied to about a lot of things. We think that we have money. We think we got this. We're the richest country. We're borrowing money from someone who we don't know, but we're borrowing money from somebody. Okay? A lot of the world governments are borrowing money from somebody. Okay? And some people say that they know who it is. I'm quite sure you do. And from studying research, if you don't, do some research on it. Okay? The point that I'm making is these type of things, war causes famine. In fact, I'd also read when I was studying, there was a country, I can't remember if it was Russia or some country over in Europe, millions of people had died. Women and children, men, women, and children had died because the country went to war. And that's why a lot of countries suffered a lot after, I think it was the German war, the Nazi war. So many countries suffered so much. It took the economy years to come back to normal because they suffered so much, okay? They suffered so much because they've exhausted their economy just to get the war going and to try to afford things for the military. I mean, this is just so incredible that these types of things happen in this world that we live in. This is so incredible that we have to deal with these types of things in our world. And you would think that with what we have, people would use the money, the resources for peace. And this is why the wrath of the Lamb is going to take place. Why he's going to pull out his wrath, because this is all people, they greed, self, pride. Not love, not peace, not joy. You would think that with all that we have in this world, that we have love, peace, and joy. But instead, people want war, chaos. Well, I want more than you. There's enough for everybody. But we see this is not what people are striving for. Okay? And again, I'm going to read Matthew 7, chapter verses 7 and 8. It says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences in earthquakes in diverse places. I mean, in places that there's never been probably hardly any earthquakes. Earthquakes are going to happen. All these are the beginning of sorrows. These earthquakes that we have now, people, I know a lot of people keep talking about the earthquakes that happened. There have been some great earthquakes here within recent years. But I believe that the earthquakes during this time period are going to be worse. You're going to see a lot of people's lives being lost. I think here recently, I researching. I don't want to get into numbers or anything because of the sake of time, but, I mean, tens of thousands of people lost their lives in these earthquakes recently. Can you imagine the people? So you think about, we just on the second horseman, just the second horseman. And we're talking about, and that's not including what the Antichrist is going to bring to the earth. You're talking about war, pestilences, famines, earthquakes in diverse places where people are going to lose their lives for earthquakes. These are just the beginning. The Bible says, Christ, these are just the beginning. So can you imagine that? So you're basically looking at millions, tens of millions of people just there. And I know that's just me saying that. It's not scripture because I want to make sure I differentiate my thought from what the Bible says. I'm just thinking out loud that it's got to be, because remember, we're talking about the tribulation. No time as it was in any time on the planet. That's why I say the numbers are high. That's why I say you don't want to be here. That's why I say you can't prepare for what's coming, no matter what you have, how many guns and bullets you have. I mean, it just amazes me that some of the things that I've been seeing here in Texas. I don't know where you guys are. Some of the things that I've been hearing, people tell me things on the news. I'm like, why are people buying guns and weaponry? What is that going to do? See, that goes to show you that, as the Bible says, that they're not wise spiritually. They're wise naturally. And they put their trust in man. They put their trust in things of this earth. They love this life so much that they're going to stack up on guns and bullets and build up their houses. And that is not going to – this is a spiritual war. So what you're trying to hide from, there is no hiding. Especially from Christ, from the wrath of the Lamb. There is no hiding from the things that's going to come on. Man, let me tell you, let me move on. There's just no hiding, okay? You just know that you're saying that you're going back with him when he comes back, okay? So another thing that I want to talk about was I'm just going to show you, just going to give you the scripture because it's because of time. When you get the opportunity, Isaiah the 11th chapter. I'm just going to read one verse. Let's just do that. Isaiah the 11th chapter. It talks about the war, this war, which is in reference to Revelation 6 and 4. So we'll go over there real quick. Isaiah the 11th chapter, verse 6. And the context of it is actually Isaiah the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 9. But when you get the opportunity to read the entire context, I'm just going to read one verse. It was Isaiah 11, chapter verse 6. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the – amen. Hold on for one more. Where am I at? Amen. I've been doing so much studying. Amen. That is it. Okay, I talked about it. I covered that already. Amen. I do apologize. I've already covered that. The wolf – okay. Amen. So we did cover that. I was thinking about the war. And but I didn't write it down. There's a context of scripture that deals with – the war, but I will share it with you in the future because I got to cover it again over in Revelation. But that verse right there is talking about the peace of the kingdom, the thousand-year rule, okay? But right now on earth, I feel like that we do have peace, not total peace, but more peace than what's to come. So we're going to go ahead and move on to Revelation 6, chapter, verse 5. It says, and when he had opened the third seal, okay, now we're in the third seal. So who's in the third seal? I'm going to read it to you. It says, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. We're going to read verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Okay, there we go. All right. So we talked about famine in the previous verse, which I referenced the war. And we know that war, great wars, cause famines, okay, from verse 4. And now in verse 5, going to verse 6, You see what? The rider on this horse is a black horse, okay? This is famine, okay? And in his hand was what? A pair of balances. And so now we're talking about scarcity of food, okay? Again, this is one of the reasons I believe that, you know, that children won't be here, and we've all come to the, I think we all as believers come to the conclusion, us who study Revelation, that the children will be caught up to heaven. All children will be gone. And I gave you the references of the age of the people who won't be here. I'll cover that again one day in the future. But they won't be here. This is going to be a time to where, man, it's going to be so unbelievable. And that the Most High said, no, I don't want the children here. The children, there's a lot of things going on with children in the world now, with kidnapping, just a lot of evil things going on in the world. And this great time, I believe the Most High and the Holy Spirit and Christ have said, no, they'll be caught up. They'll be gone. Okay? And so this is why, this is also why Christ said over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, I think it's verse 19. Let me go over that real quick. He talks about, he says, and woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And so if you have a baby during this time period, man, my goodness, it's not going to be enough food to basically feed one adult. You'll just be barely getting by yourself. Can you imagine having one or two kids during the tribulation time? And if you look at the word woe, you know, the word woe really means something great. You know, this is going to be tough. He says, woe unto them. It's like, so you had a child during the tribulation. Do you not know what time this is? And they won't know, because these will be unbelievers. All the believers, the church will be gone. All the people with this knowledge and that's listening and become saved, they will be gone. This will be people with the unbelievers who refuse to accept Christ. They're going to be people who's going to be having children during this time. Can you imagine that? You're going to have a child. That's why Christ said, he said, and woe unto them that are with child. You're going to actually have a child at this time. There's war on the earth. There's pestilences, famines, earthquakes, and you're having. And we know that the world is going to go on like nothing normal. And most of them won't even realize, most of them, that this is going to be, this is the judgment. This is the time of judgment on the unbelievers, of the evil, wicked people of the earth, people who basically hate the Most High, and that's what they do. They hate the Most High. They hate that we preach the word. They hate that we tell the truth. They don't want to be judged and condemned by the word, but they are going to be judged of the word, which is Christ, okay? And so we look at verses 5 and 6 and dealing with those two verses. This is severe, and this is why I was saying to you when Christ said, whoa, this is severe is what Christ is saying. This is not something that's light. You know, people talk about, oh, there's a scarcity. There is no scarcity of food right now. And they even said that, the government even said that, they don't know why people are buying up all the food. We don't have a lack of anything. Well, there's plenty right now. There is. There's plenty of whatever you need. And I remember one time they were saying, well, the earth is overpopulated. How in the world is the earth overpopulated? I live in Texas. I don't know where you are. We are not on top of each other. We can drive from one end of the state to Texas. We can drive 12 hours. Texas is huge. I drive one end of the state to the other and see nothing but land. We are not at a lack of anything. The Most High knew what he was doing when he created this earth. We live in a finite world. There's plenty. Okay, this is the stuff that they are putting out there to scare people. Oh, Texas has so much room. You can go outside the city, nothing but, probably don't see them with a bunch of cows out there, okay? It's nothing but land here in Texas. And we're not overcrowded. Hey, if you feel crowded, hey, go drive 50, 70, 80, 100, 200 miles out somewhere and live by yourself. You'll see. You won't be on top of nobody, okay? And there's probably nothing out there, probably snakes and coyotes and whatever else out there, okay? And there's plenty. The world is big. The world is huge. Plenty of food. Go out there and build your own garden and plant, okay? We're not at these times yet, okay? And are they near? Yes. But we know that there are going to be certain things that are going to be a domino effect. The war is going to cause famines, okay? Earthquakes, pestilences, things are going to start. It's going to be a domino effect. One bad thing happens, which is going to cause these things to actually happen. This is why these things happen, okay? So looking at verses 5 and 6, okay, did read to you. Let's see what the word Oh, okay. So we were talking about, I think I talked about this before, and I've pretty much been saying the whole show that there is no escape from this. Once you don't receive salvation, you know, it's going to be a troubling time for people. There may, maybe people will try to take their lives. It's going to be unimaginable. And then to think that most people have the nerve to not really want to accept Christ, you know, this is the time to accept. And people laugh and mock, like these type of things are not going to take place. So let's see. I think I'm going to come back to those verses. So what I want to share with you real quick was verse 6, where it talks about a penny. And so the penny was also known as a denarius during the it was a Roman currency. And let's go over to Matthew, the 20th chapter. I just want to show it to you so you get an idea, because earlier I did mention that it's going to be enough for an adult to eat, to live on during these times. That's going to be unimaginable, because I can imagine that us being in the household that I live in, because we have a pretty good-sized household, that there's barely enough food for me to eat. Amen. So, you know, I know I can get down. I don't get down like I used to. But, you know, I can eat a pretty decent meal, but not too much. I don't eat a lot. But I'm saying, you know, most people like to, you know, eat to where they're full. You know, we live in a society of plenty, you know, is what I'm saying. And most of us like to, you know, make sure that we're not really full, but we're comfortable. So can you imagine just eating a bowl of oatmeal for a day's meal? And I'm just using that as an example, because when you study this, it talks about, it says a measure of wheat for a penny. So it's coarse food. So it's kind of like oatmeal a little bit, or wheat. And so can you imagine just having a bowl of oatmeal? And you're going to see why, not only that there's going to be famine, scarcity of food, but because things are going to be so, they're going to cost so much. And so if you go to Matthew's the 20th chapter, let me go there real quick. Matthew's the 20th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 2 and 9. Matthew's 20th chapter, verses 2 and 9 says, "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Now, let you read the context of it. I'm just going to give you just, as I try to give you an outline of it to make it quick. Verse 9 says, "And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny." So that's a day's worth of work. So imagine what you make. And I understand that that's just what it was at that time. So I don't know how you want to measure that. I'll let you do your own study and research on that. But just to say, days worth of work goes, you know, to buy your food. And all you're going to get is a certain amount of food, okay, a small measure. And the scripture breaks down what a measure is. I'll let you do your research on that. But I'm just using a bowl of oatmeal as an example. Okay, maybe it's a little bit, maybe it's, I don't know, it's not too much, because it's only been enough for one adult, pretty much. And so that's why I was saying, Christ said, "Woe unto them that give suck." So you're going to have a child in this time, but you can barely feed yourself. Why would you want to, you know, make seed during this time? And so this is going to be a very, very challenging time. Like I say, you know, I see things now as an example as to what's coming, but what we're in now touches, I can tell you right now, touches the tribulation, not even, okay? You can see things happening. It's not making light of people who out there who are suffering or going, because there are some people out there that's without job, without work, suffering. People are making decisions on their lives. We're not making light, but still, when you compare it to what's to come, oh, my goodness, you know, it don't touch it, not even by far. And like I say, John did the best that he could. I'm doing the best that I can to paint a picture for you to say, hey, you can't prepare yourself for the great, for the tribulation, for this 7-year period. The only preparation is Christ, and this is why Paul wrote what he wrote. This is why Christ gave it to John. Hey, give this to the 7 churches and warn them. Tell them I'm coming quickly. This is the war. You're getting your awakening right now. So this is the blessed time to be alive and to hear this message, whether it's from me or whoever is giving you the rightly divided word of what's to come. And to also make sure that you're telling people, hey, cap it off with the plan of salvation. Hey, the way to get out of this, You're not going to get out of this through your job, through your education, through your prestige, through your name, through whoever you think you are, whoever you think you know. You're not going to escape, because not only are you going to deal with the Antichrist and his ruling and things that he's going to issue out. Like I said, John didn't cover a lot of things. So it's the only thing that we can only imagine that's going to happen. John didn't write everything. Daniel didn't write everything. In fact, it was told to them to close the book, shut the book, and write no more. There are some things that they want to know, and the Most High wouldn't tell them. So can you imagine the things that we don't even know that's going to happen? You can't prepare yourself for what's coming. So the best thing to do is to receive salvation. Amen. If you have any good or anything godly in your heart and your mind, open your heart and give it to Christ so that he can save you from these things to come. Okay? All right. So a lot of information to share with you. Now, I want to share this part with you, in studying. It is believed that the Most High the entire world probably won't be affected all at once by this famine. Probably different parts of certain parts of the world affected. But in reading the scripture and just studying, I believe that the poor, which is always, is going to be more affected than who? The rich. We see that now. The rich are not really affected by what's going on in the world right now in this pandemic. Who's mostly affected? The poor people. The people who got $10 million in their account, they're not really hurting. They say, okay, I ain't getting no business right now, but I still got $10 million in my account. And, you know, they're living good. You know, like I said, I work at the bank. People who got money in their account, they're fine. They're still buying cars. It's funny to me. And it's not funny in a bad way, like towards the people who are suffering. It's just funny that, wow, it's just going on like life has never even stopped. Like, this ain't affected them. They're buying houses. They're buying buildings. They're buying cars. I'm like, you know, I have family members that work at different stores and different warehouses that sell in bulk. And they tell me, man, people come out buying by the bulk. It's just amazing. Like, really? Yeah, they wipe it. Every time we get to stock, they just wipe it out. So they go to show we have plenty. And it's sad that people are just kind of like not thinking about everybody else, because you can't use a bunch of, you can't drink all the water by yourself. You can't use up all the tissue and the food, you know, the meat. It's like, slow down. You know, there are other people here that really do need, and hopefully people buy it to share with other people, but we know in most cases that's not the case. But what I'm saying to you is, I can tell you all right now by looking at the hour, I'm not going to be able to It's Revelation, the sixth chapter. So what I'm going to do is do my best to get down to, let's see, what's the midway point? We'll say verse 8 or 9. I'll try to get to 9 tonight, and we'll come back and finish up the rest. And what's so funny about this is that I have a lot more to share with you in the latter part. That's why I know I'm not going to be able to finish this, because those latter scriptures, there's just so much to share with you. But I just want to share this with you that, back to what I was saying, there's not a scarcity of anything. We're not in those times. People are getting scared listening to the news. Be careful what you listen to out there. This is something else that we're dealing with. You know, I've said it before. This is something else at play here. There's something else going on the right while they got you looking to the left. This is something else that's going on. And we believe that this is a rehearsal for what's to come. You know, whether it be soon or it could be years from now, we don't know. But again, pray for those that are affected by this pandemic, okay? Because we know that the rich is not affected as the poor people are. The poor people are scared to death. I'm just being real with you. The elderly, they're scared. They call in. They want to know the government's going to give more money. We don't know what the government's going to do. And so, but the people who are rich and got money in their account, you know, got 100,000 here, 100,000 there, a couple million here. They're not fretting. You know, even people with 20-something thousand, they're not really fretting. They're fine. They're going about their lives like nothing. It's the people that don't have jobs and have no money. And we know that the poor always suffers more than the rich do. And we see this here in verse 6 of this scripture. And when you study and see, it says, see thou hurt not what? The oil and the wine. Okay? There's different levels of interpretation. There are different school of thoughts on what that means. Some people mean that refers to the rich and the poor. Some mean that it refers to oil and wine, because the vines of them, they run deep, meaning that the whole entire earth won't be affected by this, by the famines that's going to happen, then the tribulation. Again, both school of thoughts could be true. But for the most part, you know, we see as a reality in this pandemic as an example of things to come, that who is mostly affected? The people who are in poverty, people who are living paycheck to paycheck. And yeah, you got people out here still buying $100 shoes and shopping, buying this and buying that. And I'm not trying to dictate nobody's money, but make sure that you are making some smart decisions, okay? If you can help someone, make sure that you're doing that as well, because others have been less fortunate in this pandemic than others. So make sure that we're definitely, if nothing else, you can't offer anything else, offer up a prayer, because a spiritual word is more powerful than money or anything else of this life. So make sure that you're offering up a spiritual prayer. That's why I say throughout the message that we are definitely praying for those that are affected, okay? All right, so we're going to go ahead and move on. Let's see, where are we at? Okay, so yeah, let's go ahead and move on to the fourth horseman. Is that where we are in the fourth horseman? So in verse 7 it says, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.'" Amen. He told John to come and see. John said, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him." Amen. So let me just go ahead and finish reading the verse, and then we'll get into it. It says, "And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts of the earth." And so we know they said the fourth part of the earth, meaning that the whole entire earth won't be affected. As you see right now in this pandemic, again, this is a rehearsal, I believe, for things to come. Is everybody affected? No, I just mentioned that. Everybody's not affected. Some of us have been blessed and fortunate. Amen. We may not be rich. We may be on the other side of the coin, but you know, some people are not affected. Like I said, people out there still buying and shopping, you know, buying clothes and things, and that's fine. Because I would say people need jobs, they need to try to go on as best that they can. But as you can see in the word, not everyone's gonna be affected by things that's going on at one time, okay? However, that's gonna shift in that last 3.5 years. Oh, man, that last 3.5 years, which is what I call the Great Tribulation. The whole 7-year period is the tribulation. But I call that last 3.5 years of the tribulation, that's the Great Tribulation. Man, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's where there's going to be a mid-tribulation gathering together. In other words, some people call it a rapture. There's going to be a mid-trib rapture. A lot of people talk about that, and a lot of people agree on that. There's going to be a Christ is going to call home some more people. They're going to become believers. They're going to remember this word. Remember, they may hear this word and this message today and refuse to receive it. But in that tribulation, they're going to say, you know what? That old Tim, that old country boy, he was saying something. He was hitting on something. Saying, man, you know what? I don't need to be here. I don't know why I didn't get saved. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter whether it's me or somebody else preaching or teaching, they're going to remember this message and say, you know what? And the Bible says that in those days, all you have to do is call the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. That's all they're going to have to do. And in that mid-trib rapture, when that time comes, they're still alive. If they ain't been killed off or died off, they're going to be caught up into heaven. Okay, because we know what's about to happen. In that beginning of that 3.5 years, the wrath of the Lamb is going to come down. Now, we know we see all the other wrath, all the other things, the seals are being broken open. Okay, but we know that the entire earth, according to verse 8, is not going to be what? Affected, right? Not the entire earth. And it says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse." Now, we dealt with the white horse, which was who? Was the Antichrist. We dealt with the red horse, which we dealt with. The great sword was given to him to cause war on the earth. And then famines and pestilences followed behind that, right? And then we saw also the famine itself. Okay, the famine is going to get worse. Not only the famine due to the war, the domino effect, but then the famine itself is just going to come in, and we know that it's a possibility. We don't know exactly how it's going to take place, but a lot of things are going to be wiped out, okay? And so maybe some people say, well, it's probably why people are stacking up now. Maybe it's a possibility. We don't know, okay? But again, still, nothing can prepare you for what's coming. You think there's going to be more than just famine. There's going to be other things. It's not going to be like it was in the time of Joseph, A lot of people talk about it during the time of Joseph. Well, you understand that that's going to be a different time. Daniel in Christ, Yeshua himself said there will be no time like it on the face of the planet. Okay, no time. You're not going to be prepared for this. So it's not going to be just famine. It's going to be war. It's going to be a lot of things. It says in the scripture, death and hell. So we know for those who are unbelievers, what falls after death? Hell. So you see that these are a bunch of unbelievers that die. This is why I said, and this is why the scripture describes, and that he said him that sat on him was death. Well, what falls after death? Hell. We know these are a bunch of unbelievers. So what's going to happen when they die? They're going to die, and based on these things that are happening in Revelation prior to verse 8 that's causing death, hell is next. They're going to be carried off to hell. Because what? Hell is next. Okay? It's not like us that believe when we die, we go up, the angels carry us what? We go to heaven. Okay? Our spirits reside in heaven. The body's on earth in the casket, but the spirit goes to heaven. But then it says, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, referring back up to the first part, and with hunger, and with death, and with beasts of the earth. So we don't know what all is going to take place during this period of time. Verse 9, now understand what I'm saying this for a time. When it says, and with beasts of the earth, we don't know what the beasts of the earth, what that constitutes. That could be attacked from animals. I know in Dallas, it was something weird that happened some years ago. It was a couple of strange reports, which was weird to us. Some lady, I don't know if she was homeless or whatever, but she had been attacked by, they said, like 5 or 10 dogs. A kid. That was something like, why would just random dogs just attack a woman and kill? We thought that was so bizarre. Amen. But I just want to share that. I'll be back on the air tomorrow night with Minister Elder Bazaar, 4 p.m. tomorrow. We're going to be talking about some things in Revelation. We're going to cover some things that we've covered. Maybe some things to come. I don't want to share too many things to come with Revelation because, you know, I got to cover it. So I don't want to spoil some things, but I mostly cover what I've covered. I'll cover a little bit more in detail tomorrow with him. I have a little bit of some extra time, so I'll be back on the air. Real quick, I just want to read Revelation 6 and 9. Again, there's too much information to share. My notes were larger this time than any other chapter I've noticed. So I said, you know what, am I going to be able to finish this tonight? It's evident that I'm not. So let me read verse 9, then we're going to go ahead and get out and let you go and enjoy your day. Verse 9 of Revelation, the 6th chapter says, and when he had opened this fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. I'm not going to have time to get into that. That is very deep. This is a deep scripture because, again, this ought to be a deep chapter. It covers the whole entire book of Revelation, basically in a nutshell is what it does. It doesn't go into detail, but it just kind of just give you an outline of the great tribulation itself. So I'm going to come back and break down Revelation 9, 6 and 9, and then from verses 9 through 17 next week. We'll be back on the air. We decided to do our spiritual freestyle Fridays every other Friday, and eventually we'll probably come back on that even more because the Holy Spirit is leading me to start teaching you guys. Just getting back to regular Bible study because I want to teach those who have just become saved. The Holy Spirit said lead them in the next step. So I don't want to just throw Revelation out there and let that be the only thing that I'm teaching. So I've started my own platform. It's under Reign in Love Ministries, which is the name of my church. It's under Reign in Love Ministries. Now, it's Reign, R-E-I-G-N, not R-A-I-N. So it's Reign in Love Ministry, like Christ reign, and we reign in love. So that'll be on not this Sunday because tomorrow I'll be on the air with Elder Minister Bazaar, great preacher, great man of the Most High. Been teaching this since I've been alive. I'm 47. Ain't that amazing? So I'll be on here with him. I've learned a lot from the brother. If you will, do come back and listen to us tomorrow evening, 5 p.m. East Coast, 4 Central. I believe that's 2 o'clock West Coast time. We'll be back on the air. So, again, I'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow night. Hopefully something was said to bless you all, family. I love you. Make sure that we are showing love and that we are exhibiting our hearts to the Most High. I'm going to go ahead and get out of here because my wife got me something here to eat. You know, I love when mama cook. And so I'm going to run off the earth. You know, I get excited when I know mama got some food. So, family, thank you for listening. Remember, you are blessed. I am blessed. We're blessed by the best. The Most High, you are royalty, I am royalty, family. Until next time, stay blessed and bless the kingdom and have a good night. I love you all.